Now, I have to give you a little background with myself. Mr. Hartley said that this was a low-trauma icebreaker. Not so. When I was a boy, there was a camp in Michigan for youth called Camp Roger. And I never went. But every time I misbehaved big time, my mother said, if you don't straighten up, you're going to Camp Roger. And so when I come to Camp Westminster, I'm very traumatized by the whole experience. I can't get that out of my mind and my heart, what my mother did to me. But that was her threat. Never make good on it. Well, I'm privileged to be with you this evening, and I would invite you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalms, to Psalm 145. We're going to look at this passage of Scripture together tonight. And I need a little help. My wife is here, and we have some exercises for you all to do. I mean, not stretching exercises, but they're to write some things down at a point in the message. So if we could get about four kids on both sides to help hand them out, that would be wonderful. They're nice and bright green, so you won't miss it. Does anybody need any pens or pencils? I brought some along in case there were people who didn't have them with them. And I will give you time in the middle of my message to do something with that sheet of paper. But keep those with you. You might even scratch your name on the top of it in case you leave it behind somewhere, because I hope that you'll use these throughout our week together. And so it's important. You can stick it in your Bible or something like that where you bring it every time you come together. I'll warn you that I speak long. In fact, I'm still not finished with last Sunday's sermon. Thank you, helpers. Psalm 145, if you'll turn there, let us read it together, and we'll be looking at the complete psalm this evening. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another, and they shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness, and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of men your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up those who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to those who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak of the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Let's bow before our Father in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we gather before you in your presence today around your word as your people. And we pray, O Lord, that you would grant your Spirit, Lord, that he would be granted in fullness to us. We pray that we would see especially the glory of your works and might give you the praise and adoration that you deserve. Thank you, O Lord, for Christ, for all that you, Lord Jesus, have done. We give you praise, and we thank you that we can come into your presence because of him. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I hope you have come burdened to Camp Westminster. Now you're thinking, well, what in the world burdened? That is not the way camp is. Camp is a retreat and a time to kick back and enjoy things, but not to be burdened. I don't mean burdened with troubles this evening as you come, but burdened with an overabundance of blessings that you can't contain your thanks for. Because the Lord has been so kind and good that you're overwhelmed in a sense with the goodness of God. Burden as you go from this session, whether you go back to your room or your cottage or your tent site, that you have a burden to praise the Lord for all the things that he has done. The Lord deserves our praise not only at Camp Westminster, but throughout the whole year. The typical non-Christian, we'll call her Sarah non-Christian, doesn't give God the praise and thanks that the Lord deserves. We're told in Romans chapter 1 that rather than glorifying God as God or giving thanks to him, they begin to worship other things of the creation rather than the God who is to be forever praised. But the Christian is someone to praise God continually. Now, children, have you ever had a bad cold? And the cold was such that you stopped for a minute coughing, but throughout the whole day you were coughing quite a bit. Well, praise is like that. It is something that sticks with us throughout the whole of our life, throughout the whole of the day there. Whether in church, worshiping the Lord, or doing your devotions, or whether you're here at camp enjoying the beauty of nature or whatever, here is a thing to remember, that you praise God throughout your day. It's sort of like having that cough where you can't seem to get rid of it. It's an attitude and a constant posture. Why do I say that? If you look with me for a minute at verse 1, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. There's the duration of the praise to be given to God. And if you have any doubt, then just go to verse 2. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. In fact, that starts the psalm. Notice how the psalm ends at verse 21. My mouth will speak of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his name forever and ever. And so it brackets the psalm. There's a fancy word called for it. Basically, it's inclusio. It starts the psalms and ends the psalm that is here. That we are to give God the thanksgiving that is due for all his benefits and kindness. You might be familiar with Reformed theology, and we talk in Reformed theology about the perseverance of the saints. But I want you to look at that, even though that's a wonderful doctrine today, not the perseverance of the saints, but the perseverance in praise that God calls us to give him the glory that he deserves. C.S. Lewis described this life of praise this way. It's not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it is expressed. It is frustrating to have discovered a new author and not be able to tell how good he is, or come suddenly at a turn of the road upon some mountain valley of unexpected grandeur, and then have to keep silence because the people with you care no more for it than a tin can in the ditch, or to hear a great joke and have no one to share it with. When we think about our God and what he's done, there is a constant flow of material to us to praise him for. Notice how the third verse starts it out. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Not that we can't know true things about our Lord's greatness. We have the scriptures that direct us there. But He is larger than merely our quantifying efforts. He's unsearchable. Inscrutable is the ways of the Lord, and His praise is unlimited. The ABCs, the foundation of our praise, is the majesty of God. And when we understand more and more His greatness, we can't come close to exhausting it. Perhaps tonight, children, later, if you're still awake, we'll look up at the sky and begin to count the stars that are around. Without a lot of ambient light around, you might be able to count quite a few. But you can begin to count them on a clear night, and you count and count, and then fortunately you fall asleep. You haven't reached the end of all the stars. Likewise, it is with the Lord and His greatness. You can spend your whole camp time thinking of reasons for thanksgiving to our God. Well, it's not something just to keep to yourself, if you'll notice this psalm. It says in verse 4, one generation shall commend your works to another. They will declare your mighty acts. And here, it is something that is to be passed down from generation to generation of the Lord's people. It is some 83 years ago that the Orthodox Presbyterian Church was formed. And we have many things to give praise to God for His goodness. It is something that praise of gathering together and worshiping the Lord, something for adults, something for children, something for us as fellow worshipers at camp. Have you ever looked at it sort of like a relay race? You're familiar with a track and field relay race, maybe a 400-meter race where everybody runs approximately 100 meters apiece, and the first runner blasts out of the blocks and makes his way or her way to the handoff point and then slaps the baton in the hand of the next runner, and the next runner runs, and the third runner runs, and then the fourth runner kicks it in on the final leg of the 400 meters. Well, to recount to one another as we gather to praise God what God has done for His people. Let me kind of chop apart verses 4 through 7, and you get the point of it by my chopping. One generation, they will commend, they will declare, I will meditate, they will speak, I will declare, they will pour forth and sing, meditating on God's wonderful works. Perhaps you have something in your family that's of great value that you've passed down from generation to generation. It might be a wedding ring that your great-grandmother was given or your grandmother was given, or maybe a pocket watch, one of those old-style pocket watches, or an expensive bit of china or a necklace or something. When I was 6 years old, the last time I saw my Grandma Hoekstra, we were at her house for the evening, and my folks wanted to get home. But she insisted that she wanted to give me something, and she looked in her room and finally spotted it. And I forgot it tonight. I have it back in the cabin, but she brought a set of chrome tools, a small set of chrome tools, and she gave it to me, and that was the last time I saw her. And it was a meaningful gift because I liked to build things when I was young. But here is a gift that is far greater than anything that my grandmother could give me or your grandmother could. The inheritance that we have in the Lord and the wonders that He has done. It focuses on God's grace and God's activity and God's mighty deeds and the Lord Himself as our great treasure in life. And so steal away some time this week and direct your thoughts on God's wonders. Maybe it's stealing away some time just sitting on the dock and enjoying the beauty of what God has put before you. Or going out to the tower to make that hike that is there. Or maybe it is in your family worship or personal worship to really set aside and direct your thoughts on God's wonder or maybe it's looking at the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. And so, we want to be those people who bless His name, to bless God. Now, when you begin to think about God, the greatness of God is not hidden in speculation, but it's revealed in the mighty things that He does. The Bible is a book that we speak of, Revelation, that God proclaims what He's going to do, He does it, and then He follows up interpreting it there. The greatness of God is not seen in the naked God apart from His works in history, but is seen especially in His work in Jesus Christ. It's revealed in His mighty deeds. Notice verse 6, they shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and then it says, I will declare your greatness. There is really the greatness of God seen. If you put verses 4 through 7 together, I'm going to leave out some words, but you get it. Your works, your mighty acts, your majesty. In other words, God's work in creation, and then in providence, and then in redemption there, in salvation and judgment. The Bible is primarily a book about God's saving activity in Jesus Christ, reconciling a fallen world and His elect to Himself. So God's deeds recorded in the Bible become the center of our praise. It's your heritage. That covenant made with Abraham way back 4,000 years ago. The leading of the people out of Egypt into the promised land. The giving of kings and prophets. The work of the priests. And then you think especially how it centers in Jesus, in His life and death and resurrection and His miracles and then His ascension. And then you think of Pentecost and the expanding of the church in the book of Acts. God's mighty works and the deeds described in the Bible. And then God's mighty work in creation, to stand in awe of it. Recently, in the last couple of months, I just caught a little bit of a little excerpt that was on a Christian radio program, and it was about the woodpecker and how God designed the woodpecker and how they had sort of an elastic base for their head. Can you imagine being a human jackhammer and doing that all the time and how you would have great headaches and migraines related to it? But God had designed the woodpecker so that wouldn't happen like that. And you begin to see God's wonder in creation. And then you look at His wonderful providence as He upholds creation, His providence in the lives of others and in our own lives. There is much reason for praise. A preoccupation with the deeds of God by the generations of God's people because of the greatness of God. Notice the richness of verse 7. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness. That pour forth is a rich word, like a fountain or like a mountain stream that keeps on cascading down. Here is God's abundant goodness that God's people speak forth, and they gush forth the Lord's praise because the Lord is worthy of all our thanksgiving. Now I need you to work a little bit. If you dozed off for a second, now you've got to use your sheets. And so you notice at the top of the sheet what it says there, things that I'm thankful to God for or praise the Lord for. And so I'm going to give you a minute or so to write down something you would like to thank God for. Now you might say, I can't think of anything right now. Oh, well, let's talk of some. You're able to read that sheet and look at that sheet. Have you ever thought about it? God has given you the gift of sight, and He sustains your sight. How about you've heard the instructions on the sheet? There as well, God has given you the gift of hearing, and He sustains your hearing. For most of us, we have that privilege and opportunity. It might be about your wife. It might be about your children. It could be, especially Bonnie's, will be about our grandkids. No doubt about that. It could be your beautiful home that God has given you, a place to enjoy. It might be certain friends there. And so write down a couple of things, not just one, but a number of things, because I'm going to give you some more instructions in just a minute. If you really get stumped, I have a book, not everything that I agree with in the book, but it says 10,000 things to praise God for. So nobody's paper should be blank. If you need some help, it's here throughout camp for you to take a look at. So I'll just give you a few minutes of silence here. Wake up. Now I want you to do something else, is circle one of the things on the list to praise God for today. Like that cough that stays with you throughout the day, to think about it and give thanks to God. And then I'll just get you advanced a little bit. Circle another thing and put beside it Tuesday. And that's what you're particularly going to focus on and praise the Lord for. It's a way to keep you accountable and helps you form habits, good habits. Do you have a burden today? A burden to praise God and thank Him for who He is and what He's done. If you look at the Psalter and you come to the last six Psalms, beginning with number 145, they end the Psalter, and it's almost like a fireworks display shooting off here and over there and the wonderful colors and shooting part of the shooting there. And it's wonderful till it comes to sort of a grand finale at these Psalms here of praise unto God. And God has given us a wonderful hint and helper in praising God in the Psalms. Okay, I'm going to shift gears with you. If you were to paint a picture tomorrow morning, I know some of you aren't morning people. I can tell that already, you know. And some of you come in kind of grouchy like Mr. Hartley does. I know he's not a morning person there. But if you could watch the sunrise in the morning, and I believe I got my directions right, coming up over the lake, we're on the west end of the lake. As you saw that sunrise and got to enjoy the beauty of what the Lord was painting before your eyes, you could write a caption underneath your painting, "More to follow." Because the next day, Wednesday, if it's not foggy and overcast, you would have the picture again presented before your eyes. And for the people of God, we get daily installments of God's wonderful gifts that lead us to thank and give glory to our God. And what the psalmist does is he begins to move us in the direction of a creed. Yes, a creed in a sense. If you'll notice verse 8, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." Does anybody remember the first time those words appear in the Bible? You don't have to get the right chapter, but you remember the event. It was Moses. Remember, he says to the Lord, "Show me your glory." And the Lord says, "I'll cause all my goodness to pass before you, and I'll proclaim my name before you." And one of the things he proclaims is, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." And this is a good thing to memorize, is to realize the nature of our Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that He's rich in love and rich in mercy. Now, if He would have spoken for this creed about God's holiness, it would have been proper and right, because the Lord is that kind of God. But we would have been terrified by just speaking of His holiness there. We would, without Christ, flee away in terror. But what He does is He's encouraged us to praise God by thinking of His amazing kindness, His ongoing kind and benevolent care. This can be a creed as much ours as the Apostles' Creed, something that we kind of placard before our minds and in our Bibles and in our worship, that we remember this and confess this not only individually but corporately, that the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and tender mercies. Yes, it is true not only of our lives this day, but throughout our whole of our lives. And then verse 9 does something interesting. It takes that creed and it begins to apply it universally. The Lord is good to all and His mercy is over all He made. Notice the stress on the word all used twice in verse 9 in the ESV there. It tells us that God is the bountiful King of creation and He gives generously to His world. He's good even to the unjust or the unrighteous. We're told in Matthew chapter 5 that He causes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. We're told as well that they receive blessings from His hand. Yes, those who don't know the Lord don't have forgiveness of sins and they're excluded from that. But their sin and depravity don't keep God or prevent God from yet showering all sorts of kind gifts upon them. Every breath that they breathe, every ray of sunshine that they enjoy is a gift from the hand of God in common grace. And then you think about us who know Him in special grace. Every meal that we eat is all the better. And we are not consumed because God is merciful and His blessings are new every morning. And truly great is His faithfulness. This key feature of God's nature must be celebrated and appreciated for us, by us. There's a tenderness towards us as His people. Have you ever thought of the tender love of God? And we'll talk more about this as we go on. Mercy is almost like a rainbow or umbrella over the whole of our lives from beginning to end. As God's people, it is controlled by the mercy of God. It doesn't mean that there are hard times. It doesn't mean that there's not other things that happen. But it's the way you look at life, that you see yourself as blessed. Blessed not because of your goodness, but because of God's mercy and kindness in Jesus. Well, the praise of God is universal. All your work shall give thanks to You, it says. The North Woods shout His praise. The Milwaukee Zoo exhibits His wonderful attributes. The Kettle Moraine cannot contain its exaltation. The dairy cows, you have lots of them in Wisconsin, sing His praise. And the sunrise over Green Lake shouts aloud that the Lord is worthy. However, there are some human beings who won't willingly give Him praise, yet God will even get glory from them. You'll remember the story of Pharaoh in Romans 9, and it says that God shows the glory of His wrath from even Pharaoh. But His people willingly give it to Him. And we have a special duty because we have special eyes to proclaim and perceive God's works. Well, let's look at verses 13 through verse 20. We'll start at the beginning of the second half of verse 13. The Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. And then you'll notice at the end of the psalm, you have the same idea towards the end. Of God's kindness in verse 17. He's kind in all His works. That structure puts bookends around that section there. And here almost begins like another creed. The Lord is faithful in His words and kind in all His works. And the Lord is kind in all His works. It was Martin Luther in a small catechism, I think it was question 39, he said, the first article of creation, I believe, God, the Lord, the God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And then the question is asked, what does that mean? And he says, I believe that God created me and all that exists, and has given and still preserves to me my body, my soul, my eyes and ears, and all my members, my reason, and all the power of my soul, together with food and raiment, home and family, and all my property, that he daily provides abundantly for all the needs of my life, protects me from all danger, and guards me and keeps me from all evil, and that he does this purely out of his fatherly goodness and divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me, for all which I am bound in duty, bound to thank, praise, serve, and obey him. This is most certainly true. We can say amen to that.
Amen.
Amen. Wonderful, the mercy of the Lord, especially when you come to verse 14. The Lord holds those who are falling and raises up those who are bowed down. They show that his rule is not arbitrary. It is as a benevolent kingdom. He condescends to his people in need. He has all power, but it's not just raw, naked power, but power shown in compassion towards his father, towards his children. Perhaps you've had an incident as a little child, or maybe you can remember back to your childhood where you got injured, and your father or mother took you from outside and carried you in the house and then tended to your wounds. Well, we might use that earthly analogy to compare it to what the Lord is doing, upholding those who are falling and raises up those who are bowed down. Remember those wonderful words of invitation from Jesus. Come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. We would easily be overcome and sink down if God didn't provide his support with our troubles. Whether it be struggling with cancer, whether it be a troubled child, whether it be battling constant anxiety, the Lord is king. But he's a king that is benevolent towards the needy, his own children. Take heart this evening. Well then, let's look at what else the Lord does. He, verse 16, opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. A picture of the providence of God opening his benevolent hand. What a beautiful picture, if we can speak in anthropomorphic language. Even earlier in verse 15, the eyes of all look to you, and you give them food in their season, and you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. Isn't it constant, the blessings of God, that sometimes we take them for granted? Your daily food. I know we could get you grumbling pretty easily. If your food at your campsite got spoiled and you had nothing for the morning, and if they shut down the cafeteria here, we would think, what in the world's going on? We paid the money for this. We expected it should be there. And every day for the Christian is really a Christmas of God's wonderful gifts. Not only we do, but creatures receive God's wonderful gifts. And it's easy to take it for granted because it's so constant there. And we should recognize every gift that God gives is new ground for praising him as a benevolent giver. His providence is wonderful. You can describe God's providence as his regular upkeep and kindness towards the world at large, and especially to his children, and how we need to celebrate his goodness. Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 5, point 1, again, leaving some things out, says, God, the great creator of all things, does uphold, direct, and dispel and govern all things by his most wise and holy providence, to the praise of the glory of his wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and mercy. As you look at God's providence in your life, have you ever turned it from those different angles to praise God for his wisdom shown in that providence that you recently experienced, to praise God for his power shown in that providence that he gave to you. Have you ever thought about praising God for his justice in the midst of it and his goodness and mercy? There is much reason, of course, to praise God for his providence. Especially towards us who know Jesus, that he reaches out. Notice it says in verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. God is near to us not because of ourselves, but because of God's wonderful work in Jesus Christ. And the Lord has come through time and time again that he has been our rock and our shield, our fortress. Times when we as churches have cried out and felt that the work wouldn't continue if the Lord didn't bless and help us. You live in a church plant and you have this cycle like this that goes up and down, and sometimes you think, nope, not going to make it. And sometimes you think, yes, we're going to make it. And there you are in a regular church and someone causes trouble, tries to split the church, and you wonder how you make it through, and the Lord comes through faithful again. The Lord is near and accessible to his children. Well, you don't learn to praise, as Erwin Lutzer said, in a day, especially if you've been complaining for years. I hope I'm not speaking to you, but I might be speaking to you. New habits take time to practice and develop. You begin today, you practice it tomorrow and the next day, and it becomes to be part of you. And my dear friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, learn the habit of thanksgiving. Lord, I can't keep it in. I just have to praise you for all that you've done. That's the life of doxology. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message from you, Lord, delivered through weak instruments. And we pray, O Lord, that you would use this in our hearts and lives from young to old, O Lord, that you would get all the glory and honor and praise from it. We pray for this week and ask that it might be a very special week to think through, O Lord, the wonders of who you are and what you've done. And Lord, that we would respond faithfully and giving you thanks and bringing you glory, Father. Now be with us as we go from this place tonight. Bless us. Strengthen us, give us good rest for the morrow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're welcome.
All right. Well, everyone, you'll check out our schedule. But first, before we get going, wasn't that wonderful? What a wonderful lesson. Praise God. Well, we'll get to continue that and practice giving God the glory that he deserves, for he's exalted on high. So thank you, Pastor Reverend Hoekstrup. Tomorrow, our session two, will begin at 9:15 a.m. You can come here even a little bit before that. We should have some coffee and snacks in the morning. Of course, you need to take care of your own breakfast if you do that at your campsite. You'll notice also Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday that there are special sessions. Yes, Miles? There are special sessions each of those days following the morning session. So at 10:45 to 11:45 tomorrow, we'll have a men's meeting. So immediately following, or just a few minutes after the morning session, the men are welcome to stay for a special session with Pastor Hoekstrup, and we'll go over some specific things then. Then we'll have the youth games at 12:45. But just a FYI, you'll notice the women will have a special meeting here at 10:45 on Wednesday, and then the youth, which is, as far as I can tell, usually that's junior high and up. Isn't that about so? It's there's no hard and fast division, but if you're able to stay and participate, then the youth will be able to be there for that. Are there any other specific announcements for this evening that need to be mentioned or raised?
Yes. A couple. Bring your own cups.
Bring your own cups.
Like coffee thermoses.
Oh, that helps. If you like to drink coffee and whatnot, bring your own cups. If you have a thermos and reuse that.
And yes? We need a major prayer for the coffee department. This is the third coffee maker, and it's still not plugged
in. Okay. Well, we'll work on that and pray for the coffee. I just saw somebody, no joke, a friend of mine just emailed me a photo of his coffee mug. And, you know, you have sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus, soli Deo Gloria. His said, sola caffeum. He said it was the one Calvin came to later in life. Was there another announcement with somebody raising their hand over here?
Yeah, Wednesday night, as the sun goes down, there'll be a bonfire for the youth with some just kind of discussion and enjoyment with s'mores at a campfire. The location will be announced later.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. Of course, for those who are new to camp, a lot of times people like to get together and spend time at their campsites in the evening. Also, during the day, many people often go down to the beach and spend time swimming. You can rent boats and other things. You can go fishing. I believe if you're fishing on a boat, though, you ought to have a fishing license. I got mine from Wisconsin DNR this morning. But those are easy enough to get. And there's plenty to do. There's a disc golf course, basketball courts, tennis, hiking, there's you name it. If you have any questions or have any ideas or want to schedule an event or an activity and would like to get other people to participate, then please speak to any one of us and we'd be happy to connect you with folks. Is there anything else?
There's the crafts to do.
The crafts, of course, is a craft center down there, down by the beach, and there's a little center with all the other, there are a bunch of buildings and other things to do down there too. Wonderful. And Trinity Pines, if you want to hang out with them.
So we are sharing this building, which you might have figured out. We can be in this room. The restrooms are down the hall and to the left. And then there's a room for the nursery. But anywhere else is space that's for the other group. So don't go wandering in their dorms or anything like that. But
right.
Outside, you are free to roam and do whatever you want.
Right. Absolutely. Very good. Well, shall we give thanks? Why don't we bow our heads in prayer and we'll be dismissed for the evening. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice again at your greatness and your glory. We thank you for this evening that we were able to meet. We look forward to spending time with family and friends and pray that you would bless us and that you would give us all the more reason and a true desire that we would praise you and worship you and give you the glory. For you indeed alone are worthy. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we worship you, we praise you, we look to you and ask that you would bless us in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we pray. Amen. Amen. And there's Gaga Bowl outside while the sun's up. Make sure you can get plenty of games in.